Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to another episode of the Self-Build Plus podcast, where we chat with self-builders, suppliers, and experts about all things home building and renovating in Ireland on both sides of the border. I'm Astrid Matson, your host and the editor of Self-Build Magazine. So today I have the pleasure of being joined by Kieran Dwyer, the director of insurance broker Self-Build Protect. And we are here, obviously, to talk about insurance. So, Kieran, thanks for joining us. And just can you start off with giving us an idea of what kind of self-build insurance self-builders really need to have? What's the must-haves in terms of insurance?
Great. Hi, Astrid. Well, I suppose from an insurance perspective, in Ireland, the only form of insurance that's compulsory is motor insurance. So really, nobody has to have any type of insurance. But I suppose for peace of mind, self-builders really should look at taking out insurance against any losses that they may occur during the building stage. So effectively, a self-builder is taking on the role of a building contractor. And as such, they need the same type of insurance as a building contractor would have. They would normally include property insurance and liability insurance. The property insurance would be covering their actual house itself in case anything happens to the house, whether it burns down, blown away in a storm, or there's material stolen off the site. Or even say the likes of a self-builder might hire in some plant or buy their own plant. So if any of these things are stolen or they're damaged on the site, then the self-builder is going to potentially have a financial loss that they're going to incur. They're also taking on the role of the building contractor from a public and employer's liability point of view. So if anybody gets injured in on the site, whether there's, you know, nosy neighbours deciding to come in to have a little look around, or whether it's some of the tradesmen that they will bring in to do the work for them, be it a block layer, painter, carpenter, electrician, these guys, when they're coming in onto the site, you're effectively their employer. So any of those guys who get injured in on the site are potentially taking a claim against you for the injuries that they have sustained on the site. So that's really, Astrid, the type of insurance policy that a self-build insurance policy is going to cover, the property and the public and employer's liability. We can also include, say, like the personal accident cover in case the actual self-builder themselves were to get injured. They can't legally sue themselves if they get injured on the site, so they can't claim under the public or the employer's liability. So they can take out some personal accident cover, which will cover themselves in the event that they were to get injured themselves.
Okay. And mortgage providers, don't they usually require that there is some sort of insurance in place in order to take out self-build insurance? Isn't that kind of a common route to
most of the lenders, Astrid, they're really only concerned about getting their money back if the building was damaged or burns down. So really what the mortgage providers are looking for is fire insurance. That's really all they will insist on. So in a lot of times they will, you know, offer you their own fire insurance policy, which may not be overly expensive, but it's really just covering their back in the event that the house burns down before you actually finish the build. So they wouldn't necessarily insist on you taking any public or employer's liability cover out on the property. And so from that point of view, they're really more concerned about getting their money back from a loss as a result of a fire is really what they will look for. Now, they will normally insist, say, on the sums insured, the property being insured for what would be considered the professional reinstatement value of the house. What it would cost if the house was to burn down to get a building contractor back in, professional builder back in second time round, demolish the property that's been damaged, bulldoze it and rebuild the house again. So you would be looking for it to be insured. The bank will insist on it being insured for the professional reinstatement value. So you might find at times where self-builders are saying that, well, I can actually build a house for 300,000 myself because I'm going to do a good bit of the work myself, or I'm going to get in all the different tradesmen and be acting as the self-builder. But the bank might look for them to have 400,000 or even higher. And that's because they will insist on it being insured for the professional reinstatement value on it.
Okay. So what makes insurance more expensive? What are the cost elements there?
Well, in terms of the cost-wise, now, in terms of, as a self-builder, insurance companies in their very nature tend to be very conservative, and they don't like to insure anything that they don't necessarily have a huge amount of data on. So normally, your normal standard construction, block wall, slate or tile roof, absolutely no problem to get self-built insurance on it. There tended to be a little bit more difficulty getting any non-standard, as insurance companies would consider it. So say the likes of the ICF or the timber frame would have been up to recently very, very difficult to get insured as a self-builder. So people were having to go and get building contractors if they wanted to use that particular mode to build their house because they couldn't get the self-built insurance. So in terms of cost-wise, again, the insurance is going to be based on the reinstatement value. And from the insurance company's perspective, they're working out the reinstatement value of how long it's going to take you to build that house, how much labor you're going to have incurred from a public and employer's liability point of view. So it's not just the fire insurance cost of 300,000, it's the labor involved in building that 300,000 house as well, is what they're building in for the employers and public liability.
Okay. So then the cost on average for a self-builder, let's say you are going down the traditional block work route, is there kind of a ballpark to be aware of in terms of how much?
I suppose our minimum premiums on our policy, our self-build policies, start at around €1,000. Right. Now, that would get you a house up to around 300,000. Right. Now, we can offer a 12-month or 18-month policy. Sometimes the 18-month policies aren't an awful lot more expensive. And depending on how much the actual rebuild value of your property is, if it's still falling within our minimum premiums, we might be able to even offer an 18-month policy for somebody at the same price as a 12-month policy. So we also do offer a 3-month policy for somebody who hasn't finished by the time their 12 months or their 18 months expired. So we can continue to offer 3 months until such a stage as the houses are finished. You know, so roughly speaking, 1,000 would be the minimum, and it will go up from there depending on how much the actual reinstatement value of the house will be.
Okay, and for a non-standard build, are the costs are higher, I presume, or is it more a question of not getting insurance for it?
In terms of our rates, the timber frame and the ICF have a slight loading on them, maybe about a 10% loading onto the standard rates. When it gets beyond those, then it's on a case-by-case basis, and it may well be there's certain materials that insurers won't, our underwriter won't actually look at. So it's unfortunately, as I said earlier, with insurance companies being conservative in their nature, there's some, unless they have the data, particularly around the fire rating in relation to the properties. And sometimes what we can do, we can get as much information as we can, if it is a new build type, in terms of fire ratings, we may be able to persuade an underwriter to reconsider it at an additional premium. And I suppose, Astrid, to be honest, because we've this facility up and running since around April of this year, And we're still finding our feet a little bit with the insurer. So again, as I said to you, they're being a little bit conservative in relation to their approach and pretty much want the normal standard construction or timber frame or ICF. Anything outside of that is we've had a few successes, but we would have had more failures than successes in persuading them to take on those type of risks. Okay. So yeah,
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, as we build up the facility a little bit more over a period of time, we'll probably get more and more things done by them. But as it stands at the moment, it is just really the standard stuff they want until they're happy enough that we know what we're talking about when we're explaining the different type of construction to the insurers and why they should be actually willing to take on the certain types of construction materials.
Okay. So what made them say yes in those cases that you did have success outside of those three mainstream, now mainstream?
It had then tended to be the fire rating in relation to them that we were able to give them the certain EU or UK standards in relation to the fire rating in relation to the constructed materials.
They're obsessed with fire, aren't they? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
So then in terms of the other aspects that would add cost to an insurance premium. So would it be the roofs as well? Isn't there something about thatched or flat roofs or things like that?
Yeah, again, you're back to the likes of the thatched. You won't get a self-built insurer. I suppose one of the difficulties you have at the moment in terms of self-built insurance, Astrid, is the lack of competition. There really is only two insurance companies that are offering the full self-built insurance package, giving the property and the liability insurance. And because of that lack of competition, there tends to be the two insurers that are in the market, they're strict enough in relation to their underwriting criteria. So they won't do thatched properties. They will do flat roofs, again, depending on the fire rating. If there's a certain, you know, if we can show the insurance company that the fire rating in relation to the roof is you know, a certain period of length of time, then that should be okay. Flat roofs in general for insurance companies tend to be a little bit more difficult for the longer term, for when it changed, when you no longer need your self-built insurance and you need your house insurance policy. So the house insurers, a lot of insurance companies, there's an awful lot more house insurance companies available, but they don't like flat roofs because of the nature of potential storm damage to them over a period of time. Now, it depends on the type of flat roof and the type of materials underneath. So let's say you have asphalt. Is it asphalt over concrete or is it asphalt over timber? A concrete is absolutely fine. It's considered a standard construction even for a roof. But if it's asphalt or mineral felt over timber, then there will either be a loading on the premium or maybe a higher excess on the policy, because over a period of time, you will find that the felt starts to come away and there's an ingress of water into the property. So storm damage tends to be a lot more of a concern for insurance companies for flat roofs.
Okay, so you mentioned the competition, the fact that there's only, it's really a duel here. that does obviously, you imagine that would add to the cost compared to, let's say, the UK. I think they have quite a few providers. Can we expect any more competition? Are there going to be new actors coming in? Or is there even a way to veil of insurance services on the other side of the border from Northern Ireland, for example?
Not really, because, and I suppose this is, we're going back to the whole issue in relation to Brexit, Astrid. Brexit effectively meant that insurance companies based in the UK could no longer write business in Ireland and vice versa unless they actually registered over within the EU to be able to write business. So even though we hear of the likes of Lloyd's business being placed into Lloyd's have had to open offices in mainland Europe, in Brussels, to be able to register business written out of Lloyd's within the EU from that particular head office. And really, I was previously dealing with another insurance company in the UK. We did an awful lot of self-build business with them over a 4 or 5 year period. But as a result of the restrictions from Brexit, we no longer were in a position to be able to write business from the end of 2021. And because of that, it took me the best part of 2 years to be able to come up with a new insurance company willing to be able to write this type of business in Ireland. So despite the fact that I had all the data in terms of claims, in terms of bills, costs, materials, there was just a lack of appetite to be able to write this type of business in the Irish market. Now, in terms of premium-wise, the premiums haven't changed an awful lot from the prices we were charging when we were dealing with that previous UK insurance companies. So they haven't gone up a huge amount. It's pretty much staying static. So the rates we have are similar enough to what we would have had pre-Brexit.
Right. And more competition? Do you think more actors will come in?
I have my doubt, Astrid. I mean, as I said to you, I approached maybe 10 different insurance companies to see whether or not they had an appetite to write this type of business in Ireland. And I really could only get traction with one of those insurance companies for various different reasons. Again, going back to what I was saying at the start, insurance companies tend to be conservative in their nature. And unless they can see that there is profitable business to be written, then they're not willing. And there has to be a certain level of capacity as well. So they need to be able to see they're writing a lot of it. Their insurance companies will write a lot of house insurance. They will write a lot of car insurance and that type of thing. Whereas if they can only get a certain amount of capital in or a premium in based on self-billers, you know, they'll say, you know, there's not enough of business for them if they can't make a profit. You know, one large loss could write out a book very easily.
Right.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yeah. So this new duty of care legislation that came in across all insurance products, I think it's across the whole thing. You might clarify that. I'm not too sure, but it's if you could explain what that new legislation is and if it might actually benefit self-builders or what impact, if any, it might have on self-build insurance.
Yeah, so effectively it is defining a little bit more the whole trespass and visitors coming onto your property and the onus of responsibility that's on those visitors to your property. And it makes it a little bit more difficult for people coming onto your land and onto your property to be able to take a claim if they sustain an injury when they're actually on that. So, you know, you've seen examples in the past. I've dealt with a claim myself previously where a man delivering oil from an oil company, rather than coming through the main gate, decided to go over a wall and slipped on decking, which happened to have some frost on it. Now, he took a claim against the property owner on the basis that the decking, the frozen decking, was unsafe for him which to walk on. Now, the new act should change that. I mean, he should have come through the main gate. There was an onus and a responsibility on himself whilst he decided to come over the wall and go along the decking rather than come through the main gate, which was the main access to the property. But again, you know, that's just one example. You know, the likes of trespass and things along that lines, there is much more duty of care on anybody coming onto the property. They have to be able to prove more a serious negligence against the actual property owner in order to have a successful claim. In terms of being from a self-build point of view, will it have impact on premiums? I'd have my doubt, Astrid, to be honest. From our perspective and seeing the claims that we would have dealt with over the last 8 to 10 years or maybe even longer that we're dealing with self-build insurance policies, the majority of the claims that we're seeing are coming from thefts off the site. So, you know, the materials being stolen off the site, particularly materials and the other, you know, your white goods being delivered, your windows being delivered before they're actually put in or being stolen off the site. So we're seeing a lot of the thefts of plant and machinery off the site, and also employer's liability claims from injuries from the tradesmen that you're bringing in onto the site getting injured. Very, very few claims over the years for public liability. So from that point of view, I don't see that this legislation having a huge amount of impact for the self-built insurer as it may have for some of the other businesses that you know would have people coming on onto their property at different stages.
Okay, yeah. And I suppose with the whole trespassing thing before, if someone got hurt, even if they just were coming in on site just for fun or even to try to see if they could steal something and they got hurt on the property, they could have sued you before, couldn't they? And now at least they can't anymore. That's kind of general gist with trespassing, is it?
Yeah, they can still sue. I mean, whilst the law has changed, the onus and the bar, for the want of a better word, is higher, that they do have to prove that you may have been reckless in relation to your property as opposed to being, you know, purely negligent. So going back to that example I've said earlier on, you know, it's very difficult to be able to prove somebody was reckless in having frost still out on their decking, you know. So if somebody is reckless, yes, they could still deem to be responsible, but there is a much higher bar for proof than there would have been in the past.
Okay. And would that not apply to claims by tradesmen who, let's say there's an injury on site? If it's of their own, let's say, you know, the scaffolding's up correctly, all the precautions have been taken, and they still manage to get hurt falling or something like that. Would this legislation have an impact on those claims?
Not necessarily, because, you know, you are inviting these tradesmen in onto your site to carry out the work on your behalf. So you are deemed to be their employer, and affect you as a result of being their employer for this work. There's a duty of care on you to provide them with a safe workplace. Now, you know, just because somebody gets injured doesn't necessarily mean that they will always be successful in relation to pursuing an action. They still do have to prove that there was a certain level of negligence on you to be able to be successful in that claim. So, you know, they're just because somebody is injured doesn't automatically give them a God-given right to be able to claim compensation. They have to be able to prove that there was negligence. But there is certainly a duty of care on an employer to their employees to give them a safe workplace.
Right. Okay. And in terms of preventative measures then for self-builders, what kind of are the common scenarios of these claims that you've come to see for in terms of theft and the injuries? Are there things that are obvious that people could have done, self-builders could have done to prevent these claims happening?
Well, I suppose it can be difficult enough to be able to prevent somebody who wants to get in and break in and steal into a property. I mean, obviously, we'd like to try and make sure that the sites are as secure as possible. So, you know, particularly if it's renovations or extensions where you're in site in towns or in cities, that, you know, there is certain hoardings up around the property that may not necessarily be as required out in the countryside. But if you can fence off your site, if you can put a locked a gate on it, you know, if somebody is determined to break in, they will break in. But, you know, as much as possible to try and make the site secure, to try and, you know, once the property becomes watertight, or, you know, that it is, that there's proper locks on the actual house itself, so that you try to maintain to store materials inside in the house itself, as opposed to outside once you can actually lock it. You know, so they're straightforward, I suppose, common sense type stuff, Astrid. In terms of the likes of from a public and employers or employers' perspective, well, then, you know, what you would look for is, say, the likes of when you're putting up scaffolding must be put up by somebody who has a ticket for putting it up and down the scaffolding. So in other words, it must be erected and dismantled in accordance with the code of practice that's set out by the HSE and the HSA. The likes of safe pass cards would be held by any of the tradesmen that come in onto the site. Right. Again, with our policy, we would insist that what would be considered bona fide subcontractors, supply and fit subcontractors, so the electricians and the plumbers who are bringing in materials in onto the site, that they must have their own public and employers liability insurance as well. They're deemed to be experts in their field, so they're deemed to be, you know, agents of yours when they come in. So the insurance company will insist on those having public and employers liability cover.
Okay. And are there any, let's say, for if you get a self-builder who wants to get insurance for their self-build, are there any things that would make it that you wouldn't be able to cover them apart from, I suppose there's the issue of the non-standard build in some cases, but are there any kind of flashpoints or things people should know about?
Really, the clinagers we would have had would have been based on the actual construction details of the property itself. I suppose if they've had previous self-built claims, then the insurance company may view it as this particular person is a higher risk. So they may or may not consider it. So it is one of the material facts in relation to it, you know. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, from our point of view, if works have already started, now we are in a position to be able to offer cover for people who have already started work. Our competitor in the market, once it's gone beyond beyond, I think, the foundation stage, they won't offer quotes at that stage. And that can be a difficulty for a number of people, because a lot of times they don't think of taking out insurance until they decide to go to the borrow some money to actually do the rest of the house. And at this stage, they could be up to first floor level. You know, they could be on even the shell complete, and they decide, oh gosh, never thought about it. Or what a lot of people think about when they get to the roof, where they kind of think, gosh, this is a bit dangerous up here now, I should really take out some insurance. So, you know, as I said, our competitor won't offer a quote at that stage. We can do it, but we would rather prefer and say to people to try and take out the policy as early as they possibly can, because ultimately it's a minimum 12 months policy. So you may avail of the full cover and give yourself that added protection that the self-built policy will give you for as long as you can get it.
And if they take out a policy late in the game, does that add to the cost of it as well?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't for the rates that we're charging now. Previously they would have had a loading on it beyond when it's gone beyond a certain stage. But our rates now, whether you take the policy out today before you've started work or you take it out after the shell is completed, we're still going to charge you the same premium for a 12 months build based on the full reinstatement, not just what you have left.
Okay. So just to get my head clear around it, so what are the main cost components that go into determining how high the premium is? So there's the non-standard build stuff. So ICF timber frame, you said, adds about 10% loading. And
yes.
Then what else would be?
So It's really then it is the rebuild cost. So it's a cost new, would it cost a builder to come back to do it? 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, 800,000 or 900,000. So it is rated per 100,000 as such, really, for the rebuild cost. So it's then whether you go for 12 months or 18. So the 18 months might be about another 10 or 15%. It's not double. So you'd be as well, or not 50% extra. It would you be as well if you feel you're going to go beyond the 12 to go for an 18 months from the outset.
Yeah, because then the 3 month increments, I presume, are
They
that
would
this
pre
year.
pretty much a quarter of an annual policy.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And then if you wanted to go for the personal accident cover, we offer personal accident cover for the actual self-builders themselves. Roughly costs about 100, and I think it's €157 per person that requires the personal accident cover.
For the year.
Yes.
For the year. Yeah. Perfect. And was there anything else that we didn't cover in terms of insurance for self builders? I suppose the just common scenarios, things like that, that people it'd be good for people to know about, that
Well,
we
I
might.
suppose the other thing we probably didn't hit on, Astrid, there is that whilst I suppose we've probably been talking about mainly for new house builders, that we can also offer the product for people who are doing renovations and extensions. And probably it's about 50% of our business were for people doing renovations and extensions. Particularly over the last couple of years, I think there was a huge increase in the amount of renovations and extensions being carried out when COVID hit and people couldn't go away on holidays, so we're spending their money on their house. So again, we cover the existing structure before any works have started, and then we'd also cover the actual the buildings, the new works that you're going to carry out, the renovation to the existing property or an extension onto the existing house, and again cover the public and employers' liability for carrying out that work.
So those are two different products, aren't they? Let's say if you already have house insurance, how does that work? Can you upgrade your house insurance to self-build insurance with your current
No,
lender?
no. So normally what will happen is that your house insurer, you would I would recommend that you advise your house insurer that you are doing a renovation or an extension. They may restrict some of the covers, if particularly if you're moving out of the house during that stage, and or they may decide, no, sorry, we're unwilling to cover the existing structure whilst you're carrying out that renovation. Now, if that was the case, you see, your existing house insurer doesn't want to pick up the public and employer's liability cover attached to carrying out that renovation or extension work to your house. So, they will turn around and they say, look, we're either restricting the level of covers we're giving, or we don't want to give you any cover at all whilst that house is being renovated or extended. Now, if that's the case, we can cover the existing structure, and also cover the new works to the house as well.
Okay. And what would a renovation be? I mean, obviously, I presume it's not a lick of paint on the walls. What constitutes a renovation that would require self-build insurance?
Well, I would have thought, like, I suppose any kind of changes, structural changes you're making to the property at all. I mean, your normal house insurance policy will cover you for what would be considered casual property repairs. But anything beyond, as you say, a lick of paint on the house, then you would be looking at, if you're spending 30, 40,000 euro renovating your house and you're going moving walls or changing walls or putting openings in, or then you're getting into the stage where you are having full tradesmen coming into the house to carry out structural changes to the house. That's probably where you're looking at your renovation, as opposed to just as to say, putting up the wallpaper or giving the house, the property a lick of paint.
So then installation work would qualify, or is that's a bit borderline, I suppose, because it's not purely structural necessarily,
Yeah,
kind of
so
like you could pump
again,
your walls or external
yeah,
wall or attic or.
I would have thought, again, with the likes of those insulation works, I wouldn't have necessarily said that they were fully structural, but I would, if it was me and I was getting somebody in to do that kind of insulation work, I would be insisting in getting copies of their public and employer's liability cover, to make sure that they're fully insured contractors that you're getting to do that work.
Okay. And window replacements, let's say, if you're just upgrading all your windows, would that
Yeah,
be
again, I
major
wouldn't
works?
necessarily consider that to be an overall, an overall renovation of a house. So again, I would be, if it's just purely, and I did it in my own house a couple of years ago, but again, it was an insured contractor that came into my house to actually carry that out, and I'd make sure that he shows proof of insurance before he'd do any of that kind of work. But it's
Okay.
not necessarily really impacting on the overall structure of your house to put in windows. It's not going to be covered. The liability insurance of doing that wouldn't be covered by your house insurance. So that's why you would insist in getting proof of the insurance that the window contractor has.
Okay. And just going forward, what's the landscape going to be like in terms of premiums and things? Are things going, you're saying it's been fairly static in terms of costs for
It has been
self-builders?
asked, and I know you had asked me before in relation to whether the this change in legislation would see drops in the premiums, but I certainly don't see it impacting on self-built insurance dramatically, because historically, as I said to you, the amount of public liability claims we would have had would be relatively low in comparison to the other elements of the policy, like the employer's liability and the property insurance and the theft cover off the site.
Okay, very good. So yeah, I think we covered quite a bit of ground there. Was there anything else you wanted to add or that I missed?
No, I suppose, as I said to you, just in terms of our own product, if anybody looking to try and get a quote, then if they want to go on www.selfbuildprotect.ie, we'll be able to take their details and get them a quote.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thanks so much, Kieran. Really appreciate your time.
Join us next time for more tips and advice from experts and self-builders alike. And if you haven't already, subscribe to Self-Build Plus. It'll give you full access to the selfbuild.ie website, including the Self-Build Plus journey, which is your step-by-step guide to self-building and home improving. Your membership also gives you first access to all videos and podcasts, as well as access to our members-only Facebook group, which features regular Facebook Live events.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.